Got it. Hey everyone, this is your one and only personal astrophysicist, Rohit Agrawal, right there, bringing a brand new episode for our podcast, Astrophysics. So, I hope you all guys are doing well. And today we have our special guest, and today we are featuring Rose Walk with us. And she's an astrophysics PhD student at University of St. Andrews, Scotland. And it's over to you, Rose.
Hi, thanks for having me on here. It's great to be talking to you.
Okay. Rose also won the PhD Student of the Air Award 2020, and she's working greatly on on creating posters and simplifying the concepts of astrophysics for young kids and PhD students, undergrad students. So now we want to know about your research, please, ma'am.
My research is focused on looking at the magnetic fields of stars that are similar to our sun, but they're a lot younger. So I do a lot of mathematical modeling and, computer simulating for the magnetic fields and looking specifically for where these stars might have things called prominences, which are essentially clouds that form on stars. And we see them on the sun as well. But on stars that are kind of, young suns, these clouds are a lot bigger. So my research is focused on trying to understand these. And hopefully it'll tell us a bit about what the sun would have been like when it was a lot younger and how the solar system might have been.
Okay. So, ma'am, is it a protostar? Is it something related to a protostar? Because I read somewhere that, young stars are called protostars.
Mm-hmm. So, protostars are just, before a star has become a star. So these stars that I look at are older than that.
Okay.
What's the word I'm looking for? they're a bit older than that, but they're a lot younger than the sun is today. So
that's interesting. And your research, I hope your research will go fine in the future and you'll do a great work. And you'd be amazed to know that we are starting a new season in our podcast. That is season number 3, and that will be dedicated to stars only, and from the formation to their death, and we'll discuss the life cycle, the types, and almost everything. And so I'll require some of your help. So I hope you're ready to provide it.
Excellent. I look forward to hearing all the episodes. It sounds fantastic.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. Now we want to know that I saw your work. Actually, this was when I was seeing your Instagram feed. I saw your work creating posters, illustrations, activities for young kids and undergrad students. So my question is, what inspired you to do this and how you started? What are you doing and sort of things?
So I guess initially the idea started from my PhD, where a lot of the time, a lot of things that I do are very kind of, not necessarily abstract, but everything is on a computer, and it can be quite difficult sometimes to understand the physics behind what is going on. Yeah. And so I used to draw quite a lot of cartoons to kind of try and help myself understand the physics. And I realized that this was something that everyone could benefit from. And also a lot of people, people enjoy kind of artwork and pictures, and they don't find it as scary as they do if they see a big mathematical equation and things. So I realized that this could be something that could help other people, whether that's undergraduates or whether that's kids that are interested in space or anyone else. to kind of approach the subject without being quite so terrified. So that was kind of how it started. And I've always been interested in communicating science to the general public, and especially to kids. So this seemed like a nice way to do that, really.
Yeah. Actually, that is quite interesting and inspiring as well, because you know, you'll be amazed to know, because I'm writing a book, and that is solely dedicated to kids only, because what I felt was that orbits, the planetary orbits that we have, are you know, the parts of astrodynamics, and they are so much underrated among general public and young kids, because we introduce it to a young kid in fourth or fifth standard, and we don't actually tell them about them in depth. So I'm writing a book that will be dedicated to orbits, and in which I'll be you know, doing these, some of the illustrations and the similar sort of things. So yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm trying to write that, as publishers are ready, but just the final submission is left, and I'll surely share it with you.
Oh, definitely, I'd love to see it.
Okay, so ma'am, your work is quite inspiring, and that is something that most of the PhD students don't do, and that is something that you know, you are doing it for the welfare, or we can say for the, you know, development of young kids, and for the development of field, because young minds are the ones who are the future of astrophysics. So yes, you're
oh,
doing
definitely.
A great work. You're doing a great work, ma'am.
Thank you.
So my next question is, as we have discussed about kids, so what is it your dream to be an astrophysicist from the very starting, or you started following your passion now?
Well, I always was interested in space, and I think most children are, you know, it's very inspiring, very exciting. But I didn't really know that you could do that with your life. I didn't know that you could be an astrophysicist. So I never wanted to do that when I was a kid. But I always liked physics, and I did want to be a physicist. It wasn't until during my undergrad, when I had taken a lot of astrophysics courses at the end of my undergrad, in my optional courses, that I decided, you know, that could be something that I could do with my life, and maybe make a career out of. So I guess a bit of both.
Okay. So that's quite interesting, and you know, obviously, when I started as you know, studying space, I was also not aware about that there is a field called astrophysics. I was just fascinated with space, and I was going ahead, and then I came to know that okay, so these are the people known as astrophysicists who do sort of things, and
yeah, and I think that's one of the important things, isn't it, of kind of making yourself visible to kids, you
yes.
know, and being on social media and saying, you know, this is what I do.
Yes,
it helps them see that they could do that.
Yes.
And it's not just something that it's not just a hobby that they have to give up, you know, at some point.
Yes, ma'am. And it was nice. And I must say that kids are the ones which are the most curious creature that we all have among us, and the curiosity is what we should make it our strength, right?
Oh, definitely, yes.
And a curious scientist is always a good scientist. I heard it somewhere.
They're very wise words, and like you say, kids are the most curious. They're always asking great questions.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think a lot of us kind of lose some of that as we get older. So, yeah.
Yes. So, ma'am, what are your aims for the future, and what is next? What do you want to do next?
So, I still have a little bit of time to finish my PhD.
Okay.
And after that, I don't know for certain. I would like to continue the kind of science education and science outreach side of what I've been doing over the past few years. So I would definitely like to continue that. And I also would like to do a postdoc and stay in astrophysics and do some more research. So I guess we'll see where the future takes me. It would be amazing if I could do both,
Oh.
but I don't, I guess I don't know. It depends on which jobs I find. So
Ayesha ma'am, are you from a theoretical background or are you much into theoretical physics or into the practical, observational physics?
So all of my PhD is theoretical, and I definitely do come from a theoretical background. So my undergraduate degree was in theoretical physics. It wasn't in astrophysics. So I did do astrophysics to some extent, but not as much as if that was my degree. I also did a lot of maths courses and a lot of quantum field theory and things like that. Quantum mechanics, as I got older, was not for me. But yeah, I definitely I come from a more theoretical background, and I have stayed on that path
That's
during my PhD. I don't work with data or anything like that.
so that's good. And because theoretical physicists are they are great people because observational data is something that most of us almost I think that 60 to 70% of the people are much into the observational data. And if you're a theoretical physicist, you are something of a rare itself in these times. And I feel so. Hello.
Yeah, I definitely know a lot of people who like working with the data that they get from telescopes and things like that.
Yes.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, yes. Now I can.
Can you hear me? Is
Yes,
that
ma'am.
okay?
Yes, ma'am, now it's okay.
Or has my internet dropped out?
Now it's all okay.
Oh, okay. What, do you want to repeat the question?
I was saying that in these times, theoretical physicists are some kind of rare, and most of the people are into observatories, and most of the people are doing research work that is, much of the data is observational. So how do you feel being a theoretical physicist?
Yeah, I definitely working with observational data and and working with data that they're getting from sometimes I feel out of place, I suppose. But in my department there are quite a lot of people that do theoretical stuff as well. I guess that helps. But the two very much complement each other. So you can't really have observational people without the theorists, and you can't have theorists without the observational people. So, we need variety. Diversity is really important in anything, but in research, you need people that think different ways and have different experiences. So
Okay, that's interesting. And then we have what do you think of the importance of astrophysics in school education, and what is the basically the status of astrophysics in school education?
So I am in the UK, and my experiences are very much limited to that. So I can't speak on behalf of everywhere.
Thank you.
But I guess I have two feelings on astrophysics in high school education. And firstly, I feel that I look back at my physics education and the stuff we were taught was not actually very interesting. And I sometimes wonder how I ended up here and how I didn't give up on physics, because I read a lot around the topic myself, and there's so much interesting physics out there, but what we teach at school here is not very interesting. So I think firstly, you know, astrophysics has an important place in education because a lot of people find it inspiring and find it interesting. And that's very important if you want to attract people into a field in general. So I think it would help more people to want to pursue physics, even if they didn't stay in astrophysics, which is something that we need as a society. We do need scientists. And secondly, we are a species that are very curious and very, you know, we were so desperate to go to the moon, and there's almost no reason to. You know, we did it because we could, and we wanted to find out about it. And this is the same with all the space missions that so many countries around the world are doing fantastic things with their space missions. And one day we are going to want to leave planet Earth. Maybe not all of us, but I think space is going to be a big industry, and we need people that will be, you know, educated in this. We're going to need the younger generation to know about space if we want to get there. So I think it's very important for that as well.
Yes. Sure. Well, talking about myself, I'm a bit scared of maths, so you know, I cannot go into theoretical physics. But this is what I feel, and I hope that there is a lot of maths required in the theoretical physicist. So, isn't it?
So my feelings on this are that I hated maths when I was younger, and it's because maths is a huge topic. You know, I still don't like all of maths. I hate statistics. I love calculus. So I think you find the bit of maths that you like, and then that will probably tie into which area of physics you want to go into. You don't have to like all maths, and you don't have to be good at all maths to be good at maths or to like maths, you know, because it's such a huge field in itself. I'm not any less of a physicist just because I don't know very much about biophysics or electronics. You know, I wouldn't be qualified to take a job in those areas, but I'm still a physicist. So you can be good at maths, but not good at all of maths, you know?
Yes, ma'am. Interesting. And so my next question is a bit sticky, and it is which will be a better workplace for an astrophysicist, a university or a space agency?
So I've never worked in a space agency. I would love to. I would very much love to have that experience. So I can't really answer this question fairly because I only have experience of working in a university. But I guess it probably depends on the person. I would imagine that you do more teaching if you work in a university. And I would imagine that probably there is more scope for outreach if you are in a space agency. Though, you know, that comes with the caveat that I've never worked in one, so I don't know. So I think it very much depends on the person, I think. Yeah. I would love to work in a space agency for some time and have experienced both.
Yeah, that's justified, ma'am. Ma'am, actually, we talked about space agency the earlier. You talked about that we have to leave Earth. So, what are your thoughts on people who are trying to think to go further beyond? And let me put it more clearly: what are your thoughts on SpaceX and Blue Origin who are working for space colonization?
I don't really have a huge feeling on it, really. Anything involved that involves companies makes me have mixed feelings about it, let's say, and what their driver is, perhaps. But of course, that's going to happen. People want to go to space. I'm not sure that I would want to spend a lot of time on a base on the moon or on Mars. I'm not sure, but people want to. There are plenty of people that do. So it was bound to happen, you know.
Yeah, sure. That's the answer is quite justified, and you didn't point out someone that's really great, and then we have which changes would you like to bring in the education, society, government that supports the field of astrophysics?
I think you mean like at high schools?
Yes, ma'am. In education, I mean, till the high school, because then the field is specified, or from the government side, are they supporting astrophysics or not?
I feel that at least in the UK where I have done my education, that there isn't very much astrophysics being taught, really. And it isn't always consistent across the country either. So I think we kind of start off at primary school and we get people interested in space and we teach them about the solar system and things like this. And we don't really do a huge amount after that that isn't something that you could learn from a quick Google. I think there are so many fascinating things we could teach people. And, interestingly, there are a lot of people that feel the same way, and that I think there is a drive to teaching children more about space and helping to develop some of the problem-solving skills and also sparking an interest at a younger age. So I think the biggest change that I would like to make would be for there to just simply be more astrophysics in the curriculum. You know, because there is so little in my experience. And there's so much fascinating stuff out there. So, yeah.
From the side of society, like, aren't they supporting? Because I personally experienced it that my parents weren't, really satisfied because there aren't much job openings in astrophysics field. Society doesn't, take astrophysics as a good career option because there are not much job openings, and they are paid less. If we compare, the field of astrophysics with the field of computer engineer or something like that, so we are paid less and we are working harder than an computer engineer. So what do you think?
I think
So can you please repeat it? It was breaking quite a long time. Yes, ma'am.
So, apologies for my terrible internet there. Yeah, I guess my main point was that you can take your skills elsewhere. So, yeah, there are fewer jobs in astrophysics, but I think there will be more in coming years. And also, you can learn a lot of things from astrophysics that you can take to other industries. So.
Well, actually, I saw some of your research papers on your website, and I saw some of your work that. So, can you tell us about your research papers and what was the thing that you wrote and how you?
Yeah, so I, of course, my research papers have been focused on the research that we talked about previously. So, one of my papers is about looking for trying to model where exactly around a star you might be able to form these prominences or these clouds that we talked about. And I guess the most interesting thing about the research is that to support one of these clouds, you need to have a magnetic field that's, like a magnetic loop. And you can't have a cloud if there isn't a magnetic loop there. In a region that we call the stellar wind. So, the interesting thing about this research was that we managed to show that you would be able to find some places within the stellar wind where you would be able to form a closed loop, and you would therefore be able to get a cloud there. And this is kind of a relatively strange idea, but it seems to be potentially a realistic thing. There have been a few papers on it now, so I guess that was one of my
Yeah,
papers.
that was quite interesting, and that was sufficient, I guess. But more than that, I cannot understand more than that. And then we have, ma'am. Do you faced any challenges or any problems being a woman in such a broad field?
So there are a lot of issues being any form of minority in a field. I think there is a severe lack of women in science, especially in physics. I think the area of astrophysics that you're in can vary as well. So I think in cosmology, if you're a woman, there's even fewer of you, whereas in stellar physics, there's maybe a bit more. So it can be challenging, for sure. The department that I am in is more well balanced than other departments. Not to say that it's perfect, but it's better than average for the UK. And that was probably one of the reasons why I opted to do my PhD there. Which I think goes to show the importance of dealing with the problem, because if you don't have very many of a certain group of people, whether that's people of a certain race or people of a certain gender or a certain I don't know, any characteristic really, it can be quite difficult to attract more of them. So yeah, I guess that's another reason why I try to make myself visible as a woman in astrophysics. So yeah, there have been difficulties. I have a toddler, so I had a kid during my PhD, and the department that I work in was very supportive, but there definitely are gender issues, which can become more apparent, I think, once you have had children. So
Got it.
yeah, I think I've got off better than a lot of people, but I've tried to I've tried to place myself in a situation where I'm not the only woman, you know, and I think that has made me feel more comfortable.
Well, that's good, and congratulations to that that you had a kid during your PhD, because there are really lucky people who, you know, get a kid during their studies, and you're great to handle, you know, your home and your PhD and your studies. There are higher studies at this point of time, so that's quite interesting, and that is the thing only a woman can do. So that's quite inspiring for me as well, and for our audiences as well. So,
thank you.
Okay. So now, ma'am, I hope you enjoyed, and I hope we are completed with our queries that we had related to PhD, astrophysics, and everything. And it was great to have you. It was really, really great to have you on our show. And this was my first time I've interviewed someone, or I have had someone on my show, and it's the very first time that I got to have someone that was really the someone who I can relate to. So we both have sort of similarities. I wanted to do you're just aspiring for me, and that's the thing I want to say.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for having me on here. It's been really fun chatting to you, and you know, you've had some really fantastic questions, and I look forward to hearing all the future episodes and all the perspectives of other people as well, because I think, you know, you're asking some really great questions, and you're bound to get a lot of really interesting answers. So
sure. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you to have our show, and that was it, guys. Stay tuned for latest updates of season 3 and AstroTech series, and this was it for today, and we'll be back in the next episode. Till then, stay tuned, stay happy, and stay safe in these hard times. Thank you.